the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, Gabby. Hello to you. Everything, everybody happy now that they got some rain, hopefully?
I am happy. Nice. I am happy it's not 150 degrees when I walk outside the door.
That, so, too. It cooled things down. That. You bet.
It was very nice. Now, honestly, y'all, the rain never made it to me. I heard thunder and everything last night, but it was so much cooler and it was so much better. Did you get rain at your house?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday?
We got rain.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Interesting.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Well,
it was
nice. I am not complaining. It was very nice out there.
Well, good. And today should be a nice day as well.
Good.
It's the feast day of the memorial of St. John the Baptist, and he has a prayer for us. So here it goes. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Teach us, we pray, humility of heart, so that we may be counted among the little ones of the gospel, to whom the Father promised to reveal the mysteries of his kingdom. Help us to pray without ceasing, certain that God knows what we need even before we ask him. Obtain for us the eyes of faith that will help us recognize in the poor and suffering the very face of Jesus. Sustain us in the hour of trouble and trial, and if we fall, let us experience the joy of the sacrament of forgiveness. Grant us your tender devotion to Mary, Mother of Jesus, and our Mother. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. St. John the Baptist.
Pray for us
and guide us.
Yes, definitely. We will learn more about our saint of the day later on in today's show, but at 10 after, we have some events in our listening area we will give you details about. You can find many events on our website at ccmedia.live right now, and you can send us yours for free. We'll give you details about that later on in today's show. In 18 minutes, Mary Harris joins us. She's an NFP coordinator for the Diocese of Biloxi and a nurse practitioner. And today she's going to be talking about pro-life in the Biloxi area. Pro-life activities, pro-life ministry, marriage and family life. So looking forward to learning a little bit more from Mary today. In 35 minutes, Father Josh Rodrigue joins us. He's a rector and president over at Notre Dame Seminary in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And today we're going to be talking about their 100th anniversary and new semester updates. So looking forward to hearing from Father Rodrigue today. He's very busy, so I'm glad that he made time for us this morning just to give us a little update on how the seminarians are doing so far. And in 48 minutes, Chris O'Neill joins us. He is a director of the Archdiocese of New Orleans Marriage and Family Life, and they have a lot of stuff going on that he's going to give us details about. So looking forward to hearing from Chris and all of these guests. There's kind of like a theme, like a seminarian marriage and family life theme going on today.
Yeah.
And that was not planned. So the Holy Spirit makes the rundown.
Holy Spirit does it. Yep.
And we just read the rundown. Damian, how's the weather looking like today?
Well, we have a 60% chance of rain. For those who didn't get it yesterday, you still have a shot. And it's keeping the temperatures cool for sure. The high today is only going to be 89. Low 75, and after today, no rain expected until the weekend. The neat thing is everyone's in the 70s right now, which has been unusual to say the least. Temperatures in and around our area, home at Thibodeau at 76, 79 in New Orleans, Covington 75, Gulfport 77, and in Baton Rouge at 75.
Hmm.
And Adelia, the hurricane is official. It's a Category 1 heading toward Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We keep our prayers for each and every one of those folks over there. Should be a Category 3 by the time it hits this time tomorrow.
Oh.
Wake Up continues. It's 5 after on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. good morning and a blessed memorial of the Passion of St. John the Baptist. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's Gospel comes to us from Mark chapter 6. Herod was the one who had John the Baptist arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. She had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. Herodias' own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once, on a platter, the head of John the Baptist." The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl in turn gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Today's gospel turns our focus to the passion of John the Baptist. The name John in Hebrew means, "The Lord is gracious." John was the son of the priest Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, descendants from the Aaronic line of Levites. Elizabeth was also a relative of the Virgin Mary. When the angel Gabriel foretold John's birth, he announced that this child would be great before the Lord. He would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. John baptized those who came to him at the Jordan as a sign of their repentance. But unlike sacramental baptism, John's baptism did not remove sins. John's powerful preaching and his rigorous austerity attracted a wide following. His closest followers fasted and were directed to Jesus, who John described as the Christ, the Lamb of God. John understood that his mission was to prepare the people to accept Jesus, and therefore, with the advent of Christ, he declared, "He must increase, but I must decrease," which is an apt description of the spiritual life. Herod Antipas threw John into prison after John publicly rebuked this puppet king's unlawful marriage to Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. While in prison, John sent his followers to visit Jesus to confirm that Jesus was the Messiah. The superstitious Herod was afraid to kill John, but not Herodias. Herod was drawn to John's holiness and moral teaching, but not to the extent that he was willing to reform his sinful lifestyle. Herodias' hatred for John prompted her to have her daughter Salome perform a lewd dance for Herod. Seduced, Herod made a drunken promise to give her anything, even half of his kingdom. On the mother's advice, the girl asked for John's head on a platter. As a result, John was beheaded. About John, Jesus said, "Among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." John preceded Jesus in life. He preceded him in martyrdom. It was a glorious destiny. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy and Father Chris. 11 after the hour on this Tuesday morning, and welcome back to Wake Up. We are so glad you're with us. Got some events we want to share with you. In particular, you're invited to join the St. Louis Nine Art Society for their second annual soiree fundraiser, A Masquerade of Sacred Beauty. It's going to be on the evening of November 8th. It's a Wednesday night at Chateau Country Club in Kenner. It will be a night to be remembered, they say, because there's going to be plenty of beautiful sacred art. There's going to be a live and silent auction, live music performed, food, drink, and faith-filled living, giving back to your community. So if you want to learn more about the event, where to purchase tickets, go to ccmedia.live.
And Theology on Top, Tap, not Top, Tap with Father Todd Lloyd will take place at St. Alphonsus Catholic Church in Greenville Springs, Sunday, September 17th. There'll be a dinner at 5:30 p.m., and the talk will begin at 6, and the topic, Holy Communion, Food for the Journey. Child care will be provided. Probably Catholic child care would be my guess. For more info, go to ccmedia.live.
I always appreciated the child care that was provided at these events. So thank you so much for that, Dave. Well, do you want to keep in touch with everything happening at Catholic Community Media? You can join our newsletter email list by going to ccmedia.live and scrolling to the bottom of our homepage. There is a form where you just put your email address and sign up. And there you will receive our newsletter that we send out monthly and any events we have going on at Catholic Community Media. So sign up today.
Okay, there's a big event coming up at Cypress Springs Mercedarian Center in Baton Rouge next Friday, a week from this Friday, September 8th at 6 o'clock. Mike Fulmer will be speaking on the topic, the Fourth Cup and its connection to the Last Supper. You may know that name. Mike Fulmer is a local business owner, Berryland Campers. He's also going to be our guest speaker at Catholic Man Night in November. But you can get a sneak peek about who he is and what he's all about if you attend this event. As I said, it's going to be September 8th. It's a Friday night, 6 o'clock at Cypress Springs in Baton Rouge. All the details are on our event calendar. Just go to ccmedia.live.
And that Fourth Cup, that's his talk. The Fourth Cup, It's amazing. I don't know if you've heard it yet or not, but it is really, really good.
You have to register to go to that, though.
You do.
So
right.
You got to go online and get your tickets in advance.
There you go. The King's Men will start year 7 of That Man Is You on Wednesday, August 30th at 6:30 p.m. in the St. Joseph Room, multi-purpose building behind the Family Center, at St. Alphonsus in Greenville Springs. That Man Is You is an interactive men's program combining the best research from science with the teachings of the Catholic faith and wisdom of the saints to develop the vision of man fully alive. So go to ccmedia.live to register. And once again, men getting together. We're going to talk about that a little later with Chris, but it's a good thing happening here.
Always a good thing.
Yes.
You bet. All right. Well, Mary Harris is coming up next. Gabby will be chatting with her. Stick around. It's 15 after the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 29th. Today we celebrate the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist. The drunken oath of a king with a shallow sense of honor, a seductive dance, and the hateful heart of a queen came together to bring about the death of John the Baptist. The greatest of prophets suffered the fate of so many Old Testament prophets before him, rejection and martyrdom. This great religious reformer was sent by God to prepare the people for the Messiah. His vocation was one of selfless giving. The only power that he claimed was the Spirit of the Lord. Scripture tells us that many people followed John, looking to him for hope and perhaps special powers of his own. John never allowed himself false honor. He knew his calling was one of preparation. It is John the Baptist who pointed the way to Christ. His heart was centered on God, and the call that he heard from the Spirit of God speaking to his heart. He did not hesitate to accuse the guilty, did not hesitate to speak the truth. Confident of God's grace, he had the courage to speak the words of condemnation, of repentance, of salvation. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damien Collado and David Dawson. Our first guest today is Mary Harris. Mary is a nurse practitioner and NFP coordinator over in the Diocese of Biloxi. Good morning, Mary. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, there's so many things happening in the Diocese of Biloxi, and we love talking about anything that has to do with pro-life ministry and why we are pro-life. So can you give us a little bit of details of what you do in the Diocese of Biloxi in the pro-life community?
Well, as the Natural Family Planning Coordinator, mainly I work with the Marriage Prep Program, and we do part of our Marriage Prep Program is having couples participate in natural family planning before they get married. It's important to the bishop that the couples have exposure to natural family planning before they get married. So all of our couples choose one of the USCCB options of natural family planning, Creighton, Couple to Couple League, or Marquette. And they meet with a certified instructor for training. And I teach the Marquette method.
How do they go about finding a coordinator or finding a method that works best for them?
On the website, we have listed specifically how each one of the different methods of natural family planning works, and they can pick the method that works best for them. And as the coordinator, a lot of them call me, and I review with them the different options. If they're looking for something that's online, then Couple to Couple League offers programs like that. So Couple to Couple League has them where you can do a self-taught, you can do it on Zoom, or we also have in our diocese a couple that teaches couple to couple in person, and they happen to be Hispanic, so we offer it in Spanish too. Or we have two different certified teachers who do Creighton method that they can teach with. Our diocese encompasses the 17 southern counties in Mississippi. So it's kind of a broad range, and we have about 70,000 families. And of course, with the pandemic, we also had very limited marriages. But now that's starting to change, so we're excited about that.
Yes, and the Mississippi Gulf Coast is a beautiful place to get married. Mary, you said it right. The bishop wants to have couples learn a little bit more about natural family planning. I believe that more and more couples are stepping into that area where they want to know a little bit more about this. So why is it important for couples to come together before marriage and learn a little bit about what natural family planning is and how it can transform their marriage?
Well, it's God's calling, basically, as we learned in Humanae Vitae, that this is part of God's plan for us, and that you know, it's an important part of our Catholic teaching. And so part of what we do, too, is we have a couple of videos that we want couples to watch, which is Why Natural Family Planning with Jason Everett, and an overview of basic productive biology and natural family planning done by Dr. Michelle Pasciotta, who is an obstetrician in our area. And then also with that, then there's an introduction by by Bishop Kinnaman, concerning the importance of it, you know, that this is God's calling for all of us.
Yes. Let's talk about Walking with Moms in Need. We have had the joy of speaking about this on our morning show a few times. This is such an important program and resource over in the Biloxi area. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about Walking with Moms in Need for those who aren't familiar?
Well, as you said, Walking with Moms, Margaret's over our program, and it's to help pregnant women in need, and it's a USCCB, you know, nationwide program. And so this year, Margaret's goal is to continue to educate everybody in the diocese on how to help moms in need in difficult situations, where the resources are, and how it's a parish initiative. Each parish needs to assist those in their own parish community. But we know that some parishes have better resources than others. So as a diocese, we also have, you know, a network there. The second goal this year with the diocese is a month-long drive in October for money and diapers to establish a diaper bank to assist those in need for 3 years, and with a longer-range goal to add formula, housing, and education to it. So I think the program's been through the USCC about 2 or 3 years, so it's still in its infancy stage, but we're trying to, you know, keep it moving along in the diocese.
Did you say that you're trying to raise diapers or collect diapers for 3-year supplies for a mother and child?
Yes. So, a lot of people, so doing a diaper drive is one thing, but other people like to give monetary donations. So it's they're going to do it for in each parish for a month long, and then, you know, try to do diapers and money. And it's an ambitious goal, and Margaret knows that. And we're starting with diapers, but she says, you know, formula, housing, and education are all the other fundamental things that these women need. And so we're doing that. With Catholic Charities, I'll just add this segment a little bit, is years ago there was an adoption agency program within the diocese. But in 2015, it kind of was suspended because they didn't see as a great a need. And most of the, they had very few women coming forward wanting to give their babies up for adoption. And most of the adoptions were happening overseas. But since Roe versus Wade was overturned, the bishop has seen that there might be an increased need. So we have gotten a new certificate of need for adoptions in the diocese. And we're currently working with a couple of women who are considering these services. And then we're also conducting interviews with several families who are interested in adoptions.
So where do they go if a woman is in need, she's in crisis mode, she's wants to save the life of her baby and is thinking of adoption? How do you start that process? Where do they need to go?
Catholic Charities. Catholic Charities has a number listed on our website, and they have intake, and they have social workers. And so Catholic Charities is a huge umbrella of lots of different services within the diocese, and they're the organization who is the lead on this project, providing the services.
Is that the same for couples who are looking to adopt as well to seek Catholic Charities?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, cool. Well, okay, I want to circle back, because the thing that shocked me the most was the 3-year supply of monetary funds or diapers or form. We know as parents, if for those who are parents out there, how expensive all that stuff adds up.
Yeah.
And then you just multiply by three.
Mary, this is David. I'm jumping in on here because, you know, I've raised kids too. And I just remembered what a huge chunk of my budget, when I sat down and figured how much I spent on diapers, that was amazing. So, how does this work that you're doing this?
Well, and Margaret knows that. And I just talked to Margaret yesterday because I said, you know, I know you've been on the program. And what are the goals this year? We're having a meeting this week, actually, concerning walking with moms. But when you consider that the diocese has 53 parishes and missions, you know, that's a lot of resources there. Mm-hmm. And we understand that, women who find themselves, you know, pregnant, unmarried, or just in need, doesn't even have to be unmarried. In need, having challenges, you know, having a baby. And, you know, you find many times resources are there for the first few weeks or first few months. Mm-hmm. But Margaret says, you know, we need to support these mothers for the long haul. So the first initiative, and I think she originally kind of wanted to say diapers and formula, but she realizes that we need to you know, start slow and grow the program.
That's beautiful.
She feels confident we can do this.
Good.
I think this is great, you know, with the overturn of Roe versus Wade, and of course it's left up to the states. This is part of being pro-life, walking with mother and child and families through all stages, not just after birth. So this is what it means. And I love that you talk about this and you talk about the option of adoption as well with Catholic Charities. Mary Harris, Natural Family Planning Coordinator and Nurse Practitioner in the Diocese of Biloxi, where can we go to reach out to you? We've covered a lot of information today and learn a little bit more about you and learn a little bit more about the services that the Diocese of Biloxi has for those in need.
I would be happy to talk to anybody who wants to know more about it, and I'll give you my email, and it's my personal email. I don't, you know, have one through the diocese, but it's nursemary@bellsouth.net.
Easy enough.
Nurse Mary at bellsouth.net.
Thank you so
much. That too.
I love it too. Thank you so much, Mary, for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me. I was just going to say, I got my email when my couldn't remember one in graduate school, and my husband said, I'm going to give you one you'll never forget.
There you go. That's the way to do it.
I don't think anyone will forget it. No, I love it. It's very unique. Thank you for being with us, Mary.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. BiloxiDiocese.org is where you can go and find out a lot of information on different ministries in the area. So definitely go and check that out. Well, we're looking forward to our next guest. Father Josh Rodrigue will be with us right after the break with Damian. He's a rector and president of Notre Dame Seminary, and we're talking about the 100th anniversary of Notre Dame Seminary and get an update on how their semester is going so far. So stay with us. You definitely don't want to miss this interview. It is 1:30 on Wake Up.
Before the top of the hour, happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome back to Wake Up. Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, David Dawson, we're all here, and we're glad you are too. We also are glad for those watching us on Catholic Life TV in Baton Rouge. And we also want to thank our next guest, who happens to be a great guy, to say the least, Father Josh Rodrigue. He is the rector, and he's also president at Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans. Been there about 2 years now, and more importantly, he's a local boy done good, to say the least. Father Josh, thank you for being with us this morning.
Well, thank you. You know, you shouldn't do all that lying on the radio.
No, but does that mean I may have to go to confession after we're finished?
Well, I'm sure we all have to at some point after this. But
you're right. I do need to go. Before we jump into the celebration, let everyone know a little bit more about who you are. You grew up in Thibodeau, went to E.D. White High School, and tell us a little bit more about your background.
Well, I went to E.D. White, and after E.D. White, graduated and went to St. Joseph Seminary College for 4 years. Did my college seminary there, and then afterwards the bishop asked me to go ahead and go overseas. Well, I'd sort of asked, and the bishop said, okay, to go overseas, to go to Rome and study out over there, and did my studies at the Pontifical North American College, and got my degrees from the Gregorian University, and then the University of San Anselmo, the Athenaeum of San Anselmo. So got that there, and then came back and was put in the parish, which was wonderful. I was in Morgan City for 3 years as an associate pastor, doing some teaching at St. Ben's also, and then was named pastor at St. Anthony in Bayou Black for 6 years, six wonderful years. And then Bishop Jacobs had asked me to go and be rector over at St. Francis de Sales Cathedral, was there for 5 years, and then was asked to go on faculty at the North American College. So back overseas in Rome. Wow. To live out over there for 5 years. Somebody says, oh, you must have got to see all kinds of things. Well, COVID happened, so was stuck in Italy for a couple of years, and then after 5 years over there, Archbishop Amon had asked me to be rector of Notre Dame Seminary. And so it's funny, when you're ordained a priest in 2002, so being a priest 21 years, I said, when I put my hands in Bishop Jarrell's hands and promised obedience, wherever the church would take me, they'll take me. I wouldn't say no to whatever they asked. So I figure that's the only way to get to heaven, but just keep on saying yes.
Just keep on saying yes, yeah. Well, we're glad you said yes. And, 21 years this month as a priest in your ordination. Congratulations. And
we'll
continue to pray for you and hope the Holy Spirit will continue to guide you as he has. Let's talk about the 100th anniversary. Hard to believe Notre Dame Seminary has been around that long, maybe even longer, but you're celebrating at least 100 years. Let's talk about the rector's dinner. We'll start with that. But I'm surprised there's so many events, which is good, because this is going to be a fun couple days, to say the least, coming up in September.
Yes. Well, you know, you only turn 100 once in a lifetime. And I can say I wasn't here when it was first founded in 1923, but there's some of them over here that are close to it. And, But no, the seminary really in the Archdiocese, it's been different locations for, you know, since the 1800s, really. But mm-hmm. Notre Dame itself, finally being founded in 1923, really gives an opportunity for us to celebrate really the, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of priests that have been formed through here that have touched thousands and thousands of people's lives. You know, I sit back and think, and it's a wonderful ministry over here to continue to bring the Eucharist, to continue to bring the sacraments to the people, and it's a daunting responsibility that I try not to think about sometimes with the amount of influence that that we have here on forming, you know, these men to be priests. We cover 22 dioceses, actually. And so pretty much the southeast in the United States. So it's time for us to really just celebrate, to celebrate what Notre Dame has done. And we've included our lay programs now. So it's not just priests that we're forming, but also lay people, catechists, to go out there and continue to spread the good news.
Well, the event is going to be taking place, the Rector's Dinner, September 14th at the Roosevelt Hotel. There's a patron party at 6 and dinner at 7. What an event this is. It's always a nice event, but this one's going to be very special. You're honoring some very charitable people, to say the least, who've supported Notre Dame over the years.
Yes, and that's what's really helped the seminary is the love and support of the people in the local community here in New Orleans, but throughout the state and throughout the country. You know, they've really supported, but we are grateful to Ms. Gail Benson and Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Canizzaro and Mr. and Mrs. Frank Stewart and Ms. Phyllis Taylor for their generous offerings that they've given to the seminary and supported. So we're happy to honor them, and really to those that are coming, really honoring all those that come to the dinner to thank them for all their support throughout the years.
And I'll mention, if you want to sponsor a seminarian to the dinner, it's $200. And if you would like to go yourself, the standard ticket is $250. There's different levels. We won't get into all of that. But that's not a bad starting price to knowing where the money's going and what it's for. And, again, it's going to be a great evening, to say the least, at the Roosevelt Hotel, September 14th. And the following day, there's a premiere screening of WLAE's documentary that they did, Formed, Notre Dame Seminary and the Path to Priesthood. What can you share with us about that?
Well, it's not all the time that a seminary has, you know, such sort of a professional documentary made about them that really is a nice promotional video for us, but also to really get out there. It's hard to get, you know, things out there in sound bites as to what kind of work we do, but this gives an opportunity for us to really allow people to see what the seminary is like. It's not this mysterious place that we have over here, but it's really sort of a family gathered together studying and learning, and so it sort of pulls back the curtain on us to let people into the seminary with us, to sort of see what really goes on, what goes into forming priests. And so it's a wonderful premiere that we're looking forward to, and it's going to be exciting for us. And, you know, I know they're doing a wonderful job with the editing, and so hopefully they make us all look good and we won't look like crazy people.
We're speaking to Father Josh Rodrigue. He is the rector and president of Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans. And by the way, there will be the 100th celebration mass at St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans. That's going to be September 16th, a Saturday at 10 a.m. So put that on your calendar as well. Father Josh, before we wrap up, got a couple minutes. How many seminarians are now at Notre Dame, and what's the latest there?
Well, we have 135 seminarians, and of that, 37 are new this year. That's it's wonderful numbers. We're actually, I believe, number 2 in the United States when it comes to size of theologians, of seminaries. And so we're doing very well. We have 22 dioceses represented, 2 of those from Africa, and 3 religious orders that are here also. So we're very healthy over here when it comes to numbers.
That's great. And, you know, someone was asking me, what makes Notre Dame Seminary different than another seminary in the country? Can you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Well, I think it's sort of the atmosphere that we have here. It's we try to have a southern pace with things. You know, slow things down, take things easy with regards to just taking that time to enter into that life of a seminarian and really encounter the Lord. But I think also there's the southern hospitality. There is that friendliness that's there, and a desire to have sort of a fraternal bond. So the bonds, they extend outside of dioceses, so that when men finish here, they're not just men in a particular diocese, but there's a brotherhood that extends throughout really the southeastern United States, and the connections are always still there.
Very good. Well, Father Josh, thank you so much for being with us. Before we run, would you mind leaving us with a blessing?
I'd love to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, as we come before you this day, celebrating especially the memorial of the Passion of St. John the Baptist, we pray that all of our listeners may experience the great joy of the Lord in their heart, and they have the courage and strength to persevere in extending his word and his love to others. May the Lord's peace be among us. May the Lord's strength be within us. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Forty-eight past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. And joining us right now, Chris O'Neill. He is the director of the Archdiocese of New Orleans Marriage and Family Life Office. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
It's good to talk to you again. You got a lot going on over there at the office?
Oh, there's always a lot going on at the Family Life Office. There's a lot going on in the diocese. So, yeah.
Well, great. What's the latest news? What are y'all working on right now?
Well, what we're working on right now is continuing our efforts with men's ministry. Right now, we're really in the thick of working out some details for the next men's conference, which isn't till February, but now's the time for us to be doing all of our work. It takes a lot of work and time to put all of that together. But then also just continuing to encourage the growth in men's groups and men's ministries at the local level,
This large Catholic men's conference that's done in the Archdiocese, it is amazing. I mean, what is the attendance of that usually? That's a lot of guys, isn't it?
It's between 600 and 1,000 guys.
Yeah.
We'll come to that thing.
Okay.
We max out at about 1,100 is as many as we can fit there. So if we can get more than that, then we'll find another place to fit more people.
There you go. But how many years has this been now? You've been doing this a few years, right?
Yeah, well, the Men's Morning of Spirituality has been part of the diocesan efforts for many, many years.
Uh-huh.
About four years ago or so, we kind of retooled and rebranded it to the bigger men's conference that we know today.
Right. Okay, well, I know it's quite an event. I mean, it's pretty amazing. So I can see how it's going to grow. And now that COVID's over, people are getting out again. People are coming back to life.
Right.
I can only imagine it's going to grow. But then you're talking about smaller. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, the purpose of this men's conference, I mean, we want to strengthen and enliven the faith of men all across the diocese.
Yeah.
But what we also know, everyone knows, is that your faith doesn't really grow just on one day, one big whiz-bang event, once a year. It's a day-after-day process of committed, step-by-step, walking with the Lord, growing in your faith, learning in your faith, growing in trust. And that all happens locally. That all happens in groups that are men-to-men, four or five guys together, or local men's groups. And so the men's conference always has a goal of encouraging and supporting men's ministries at the local level, in the parishes, among groups of friends. Because that's where the real growth happens, and it's not at the men's conference alone.
Right.
So,
and I'm noticing a trend. Observing. I'm involved in some smaller men's groups, and of course the large conferences as well. But the smaller men's group I'm noticing are important. They seem to be growing and growing. Is that happening? Are you seeing that trend too?
It's tough. Right now, We are in the midst of what many people, even in the secular world, are recognizing as a crisis of friendship.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of men, there was a recent study I saw recently that said that the number of men who reported having six or more close friends has been cut in half since 1990.
Wow.
And that something like one in five guys, something like that, report having no friends, no close friends at all.
Wow.
And
wow.
So, and even in the secular world, they're recognizing how that's affecting men's mental health, their physical health. A big part of that is men not being involved in religious communities, in church or whatever. But also for us in the faith, not having men involved in their faith really affects our ability to pass our faith on.
Yeah.
Because the faith of the family is really rooted in the faith of those fathers.
I think you touched on something there when you're talking about guys getting together. If we can't get together, then we're not able to share ourselves. I know when we're talking about faith, Chris, this is personally, when I'm a group of guys and we're talking about faith and everything, we go deeper. And I don't mean theologically, but I do mean sometimes we say, look, I'm having a problem with this. And sometimes we're a little vulnerable, but we're doing it with each other. And these guys are becoming really good friends of mine simply because we got a little stronger bond because we're going through stuff together. Right.
Yeah. When you're sharing not just what you think, and what you believe and whatever, but also what you're struggling with or what you don't understand, or when then what happens is, guys have a natural ability to work together, to cooperate with each other. And so we all have work to do to try to make ourselves better versions of ourselves. We're all trying to do that at some level. And when you have other men that are together that are helping you with that project, they're saying, I'm really struggling with this. And someone says, I struggle with that too. It's a consolation. And it's it helps. And you actually learn to get stronger. You learn how to develop your skills and your abilities. And so that's not just your faith that grows, but your personal life grows in that.
Right.
And I think that this crisis that our culture is facing right now, these men's groups and these men's ministries that we have going on in our parishes offer exactly that. They offer friendship. They offer a group of guys who care about each other, who are, striving after being better versions of themselves, people, to dispel just the loneliness. I mean, it's just really good to be able to say, hey, Joe, I'm in town. Let's go have lunch together. And that'd be great.
Sure.
And just being able to hang out with somebody. It's an art that we're sort of losing. A lot of people are being distracted from their personal relationships by everything else that's going on in our society.
I was going to ask you, what is the cause of that, do you think? Is it our phones or is it our jobs? What's doing that?
It's really complicated, but I mean, fundamentally what I think is, our attention. We've realized in our culture that our attention is valuable. What you pay attention to is where you invest yourself. And so when we have our phones and when we have computer internet stuff and we have all the different forms of attention grabbing influences, that dilutes our attention from the real world relationships that we have. It's easier to pay attention to your phone than it is to pay attention to the guy that's right there in front of you or, So I think it's an issue of all of the things in our culture, which are multifaceted, that are grabbing our attention away from the thing that makes our relationships, interpersonal relationships, grow, which is attention, paying attention to each other, spending time with each other, being around each other, getting to know each other, that kind of thing. We just don't invest that time anymore. We're very busy with our work life or school life or whatever, but then when we have a down minute, we want to be on YouTube or we want to be on Netflix or we want to be, when we want to take a minute of rest. And so it's just, we end up not having time. We don't invest the time in being around actual real people.
Wow.
And I think that's the problem.
So what we're leaving, what we're leaving with today is let's get out there and try to find a small group to join. They're everywhere. And they're usually every parish has something going on, right?
That's right. And a small group can be, you know, there are big things like Acts is in the diocese, and there's Batman Is You, and there's groups in parishes that have all kinds of programs. There's lots of stuff like that going on, which can be really helpful. But a men's group, a Catholic men's group, doesn't have to be a large, organized thing. It can be three or four guys going to lunch together and just talking about the things of God. That's a men's group. It doesn't have to be too complicated. Well, Chris, I'd say just keep it simple.
Chris, thanks for joining us again. I'm looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely, David. Thanks for having me on.
God bless.
All right.
Good stuff.
Fast show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We did. And we'll wrap up with a prayer to generosity in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, and to labor and not to ask for reward, except that in knowing I am doing your will. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.